It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
Let's get ready to rumble.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Larry Hardesty, Gordon Damer in for the guys. 1-800-919-3776. We're here till 3:30 along with Joe and Jacob. Then it's Twins Astros on 98.7 ESPN. Also hit us up on Twitter at Hardesty ESPN at Gordon Damer at ESPN NY 98_7FM. Hello, Gordon.
Larry, how are we doing on this fine Memorial Day?
Oh, what a gorgeous day. Gordon, this is a great day. It's a fabulous day outside. A little breeze. Nice day. Nice day. I'm happy that folks are taking us along with them. Maybe they're getting ready for a barbecue. Maybe they're getting ready for a little family outing. Wherever you are, you've got us on the 98.7 ESPN New York app. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Memorial Day Monday.
Yeah, and I mean, the weather has been outstanding. Memorial Day, the last few years, does not feel like it's a guarantee good weather, but this weekend has been sensational. Top notch.
It's been fabulous. Before we get started, we got a lot to do. Let's take this opportunity, Gordon, because there are many of us who have members who have, of our family who served in the armed forces, members of our audience, of course, and we want to take this moment to salute all those who have given their lives to allow us to have the freedoms that we have in this country. And also, Gordon, the families who sent those folks off to war. You know, the families, sometimes we forget about the families because they make sacrifices along with the folks who are on the front lines for us.
Absolutely. And it is easy with barbecues and sports and activities to kind of get lost or lose the thread of what Memorial Day is all about. So it's good that we make mention of that right off the bat. Absolutely.
No question about it. Gordon, let's go inside the numbers, my friend. Brought to you by Eisner Amper. Who would have thought that we would be talking about a Game 7 in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals? When last we left the Boston Celtics after Game 3, we were wondering if they would survive Game 4. They have come back, a unbelievable finish in Game 6. And Gordon, right now, we have got numbers on the Game 7, and let me throw some of them out before I get your thoughts about what you think will happen tonight. Celtics, 27-9 in Game 7s. They won their last four, including a 112-88 win against Philadelphia in the previous round that featured Jason Tatum breaking out for 51. If you remember, that's the most in Game 7 NBA history. Boston also beat Miami in Game 7 of last year's East Finals when Jimmy Butler missed what would have been a go-ahead three-pointer with about 17 seconds left. Now, the Heat, 6-5 all-time in Game 7s. They've lost their last two. Miami, 0-2 when facing such a game on the road. Now, Gordon, this is going to be tough because I don't know how you can get any kind of feel or swing in this series because it's been so crazy, but because I know you know, FanDuel Gordon, promo code Gordon. If you had a couple of shekels on the game tonight, where would you go?
I would keep my shekels in my pocket. Is how because the way this series has gone so far, it just shows you that you have feel, you have read, you think that you know the direction these things are going, and sports is the best reality show out there because you don't know the script, and that has certainly been the case in this series. I said on Saturday I felt like that Game 6 was Game 7 for the Heat, because a Game 7 means if you don't win that, you don't win the series. And with the way that game went down, And the way the last three games have gone down, it's kind of hard to feel like that the Heat are going to have a chance tonight. Blowing that game on their home court after having a 3-0 lead, after all the praise that we have thrown at the Miami Heat organization and Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, to now find themselves one loss away from history in the NBA playoffs. It's hard to feel all that great about the Miami Heat tonight, but the only thing I will say is just when you think you know the narrative, just when you think you know where the story is headed, there seems to be, especially in this series, something that switches that up. So maybe that's the only hope that the Heat have tonight.
Gordon, I'm torn. I'm lost. My head has been swimming. I'm trying to, and there's several ways I'm going. See if you can follow me. So first, I'm wondering, how does Miami come back from that? You're 3 seconds away from getting to the NBA Finals, and all of a sudden, it's gone, right? You were down big. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you were searching for them. You didn't see them in Game 6. At one point, they were combined 5 of 27, combined. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler does a Dracula. It's midnight. He rises, opens up the coffin, and then he's unstoppable for the final 4 minutes, including inexplicably Al Horford fouling him from three at a shot that he had no chance of making. Gordon, if he makes that shot, you know what you say? We're not supposed to win.
Right.
Because if he makes that shot, off balance, falling down, we're not supposed to win. We'll take it. So for Miami to bounce back from that, and then for Eric Spoelstra in the postgame presser to say, we want to play right now. We want to play right now. Yeah, you want to play right now because you want to get that out of your mind. You don't want to have time to think about it. Well, Gordon, that's not the situation. They had all night Saturday to think about it, and all day yesterday, and it's still in the back of their mind. And I don't know how you come back from that being so close. On the other side of that, Boston's lucky, Gordon. They disappeared for the final 4 minutes of that game. They couldn't hit a shot. They hit 7 threes for the game in Game 6. So they really should. The fact that they were even in the game late and had a lead, the fact that they were even in the game late, they were lucky. So I know what all the stats say. I just gave them to you. But for me, the way this series is going, Gordon, I'm leaning, if I had to, I would say that I'm leaning towards Miami in this one, only because Boston doesn't use their home court as an advantage. They haven't looked that great on their floor this series or in the postseason. They've not played well there. So you would think that they've got all the momentum. You would think that, listen, they'll have a chance to beat Miami 4 straight times. I don't know, Gordon. I kind of believe that Jimmy Butler is going to rise and do something fantastic again tonight. If I had to, I would lean towards Miami. But, Gordon, I'm not confident at all. I'm not. I'm just not.
No, you can't be, because we all felt like the Celtics were the better team talent-wise going into the series. So the fact that the Heat were able to take those first two games in Boston kind of shocked everybody. And that's what, and then, of course, the Game 3 performance. I mean, how could you feel good about the Celtics after that? But the whole time, it's been, the shocking part of it is not just the Heat have been able to get the 3-0 lead, it was the way that they were able to do it against the Celtics team that is more talented overall. So I hear what you're saying. The good thing I think that the Heat have going for them tonight, maybe, is that I'm not so sure that the Heat can go out there and beat the Celtics, but the Celtics have done a good job of this series of beating themselves. Mm-hmm. And they almost beat them. I mean, they almost handed that game away in Game 6. And we can all talk about the pressure. All the pressure in Game 6 was on Miami. At home, trying to clear out the series or close out the series. Tonight, now the pressure shifts to Boston. It's almost like we kind of come to expect that the Heat are going to lose this series now because they've blown the 3-0 lead. The Celtics, back at home, the better team, they are expected to close this out tonight. So maybe the fact that the pressure is back on them changes things in some way. But after winning the game that night, I mean, there have been times where there have been plays. Andy Chavez is the one that comes to mind. Mm. Great plays. It should be historic plays that, because of the way things turned out, don't get remembered the same way. But it does feel like that tip-in with 1.1 second to go, it feels like that's one of, it's going to go down in Celtics lore as one of the biggest plays in their franchise.
Yeah, you know what? It might be up to what Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah.
it might be, especially if they come back and win. If they win tonight, that play is going to be long time a part of the luck of the leprechaun. You hear all that again. Mm-hmm. And Gordon, let's just say this, and I know I speak for you for this. As Knicks fans, this the series does nothing. I really could care less who wins. I really I'm not happy with Boston, and I'm even less happy with Miami. I would be so happy to watch Pat Riley, that slick back gray hair now, just put his head down and shake his head. I would love seeing that, Gordon. Well, I would love seeing that tonight.
Ordinarily, I would agree with you. But the fact that if the Celtics win, they've come back from 3-0. The fact that the Celtics win, they're the first team to come back from 3-0. And the fact that they're from Boston.
And Boston would have done it again.
Right, yeah. And you know what highlights they're going to show when they're talking about coming back from 3-0. So I am full bore, Miami. I am Pat Riley. I'm slicking back the hair, Larry. I'm getting out the Armani suit to sit on the couch tonight. Let's go Heat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know what? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So uh-huh. I will take the Heat and go down with the ship tonight.
I will say this too. Miami's bench has been pretty impressive in this series, Gordon. Vincent has done a nice job. A couple of guys who have played well for them. I mean, Duncan Robinson has been very good. So, but we all know that your bench plays better at home usually. So, you know, it's so many different things to look at to try to dissect this game. And the other part of it from a Boston standpoint is, Gordon, if they lose, what are they going to do with this team? I mean, are they going to break it up? Are they going to split Tatum and Brown? Are they going to re-sign? I mean, because Tatum's down the road for big money. Brown is up. He's due for some big money. Do they split them? And now their head coach, Gordon, where you were thinking he would be ready
absolutely.
To be fired.
Yeah.
Now do you say, but you know what? Look what he's been able to do. Look how he's brought them back. They've come back for him. He's made some adjustments. He's put Derek White in the starting lineup. That has changed. He's put length now over Jimmy Butler. So now Jimmy Butler's shooting over taller guys. That's kind of curtailed his offensive output. So, you know, how does it, if they lose tonight, how does that change what Boston looks like next season?
Yeah, these are all questions. And same goes for the Heat. I mean, there were questions at the end of the regular season. The Heat, you know, maybe they got to break this thing up. It's not going anywhere. They were very inconsistent throughout the entire season. Now, I don't think that they would have any questions about the coach. I don't think Eric Spoelstra is going anywhere.
Nah.
But whenever this it's funny. We all get caught up in the hoopla during the run. But then when the run ends, sometimes we feel a whole lot different. And to think that the Heat, what did we talk about when the Heat were losing the games and not able to close out? Well, you know, they can't have that many turnovers. They got to shoot the ball better from three. In game six, they had, what, five turnovers?
Yeah.
And they shot 46% from three. The Celtics shot 20% from three, had more turnovers, and yet the Celtics still won that game. So, yeah, look, there's going to be a lot of questions for both these organizations, and it's all going to depend on tonight. I mean, that's the beauty of game seven.
That's right. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients create a winning game plan to transform knowledge into action for your business. Check out Eisner Amper Solutions Insight Resources at EisnerAmper.com/solutions. 1-800-919-3776. When we return, we'll take your phone calls. Plus, Gordon, the NBA's got some issues. We've got a referee that possibly has a burner account. And Gordon, here's the other thing, too. There are people who think that this whole series was fixed. The fact that the NBA would have had no basketball for like 9 days if Boston had finished off what they were supposed to do. I mean, this is kind of an interesting situation here, my friend. It's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that, but first let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Spike's in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Well, first of all, let me second what you said on the opening. This was right in my wheelhouse, what this day is about, and a lot of the guys that I went over with didn't come back. So to their families, I thank you for allowing us to talk about this nonsensical stuff that's basketball or whatever sport it is. And you guys, you know how we all feel about you. So here we go. I just looked it up. Scott Foster and Tony Brothers tonight. Talk about a fix. We got a whole new thing here. Now, Gordon, I don't know if you heard my call to Larry yesterday, but Larry made, as the K Show says, a salient point. If you take that shot that Marcus Smart took from 24 feet, 24 and a half feet, Larry was real profound on this. He nailed it. That shot, 9 out of 10 times, hits the iron and comes back out to the free throw area by the nail, and the clock runs out and the game's over. So with the kid going back, and it was a putback, not a tap-in, he wouldn't have had time to do that. So Spoelstra coached it perfectly. But Larry made the point. That shot, which I've looked at 5 or 6 times, was about halfway down. So it came out like a missed layup or almost a missed dunk. It came right down exactly where he was. There shouldn't have been anybody there to begin with. Right, Larry? That's what we decided?
That's right.
So, I mean, it was just one of those things. And you're right, Gordon. 5 turnovers, and they shot 40 or 50% from 3, and Miami shot 20%. Some games you just have to throw out the stats. And I asked Gordon the other day, because you're on separately on the weekends, Larry, I asked him, and he just verbalized it again for the new listeners, that he would prefer Miami to lose because it would bring back the Yankees and the Boston series,
which is fun. I want Miami to win. Yeah. I don't want Boston winning.
Right. Yeah. So I understand that. It's a recency bias with the Yankees in 04. But, you know, I'm so old that, of course, the Celtics winning 9 titles in 11 years. Roll that around in your mouth while you're having your barbecue today. I had to grow up as a teenager. 9 titles in 11 years and 9 stinking cigars lit in my face. But be it as it may, it was just a flukish game. And you guys have a great day with your families, whatever you're doing. And just maybe you could, when I hang up, I'll listen on the stream. Larry, Gordon, what do you think the chances are of a 24-footer going halfway down and coming out? What's your opinion on that?
It's very rare. It's very rare. And to come out the way it did, because it's halfway, spun around, comes out, and then White, who sees there's an open spot, Gordon, right on the floor, does what you do. You go right to the open spot. You never know what happens. Maybe if the ball comes there, I got a shot. And Strus, who was defending Smart, has to leave him. He sees him going. He tries to get there and ends up on his back. It's sometimes, Gordon, and see, that's the other thing that we didn't talk about. Sometimes there's the luck aspect of it.
Yep,
and it just happens. And so now you're looking at this and you're saying, tag, does that mean Boston is destined to win? You know what I'm saying? That's why, because it's so close. For this being a game 7, going to speculation on what could happen and what would happen in this game, it's endless. I mean, how you look at this, how you can dissect it, and split it and turn it around and do whatever you want to do with it. And you could come up with an idea that would tell you that, yeah, Boston's going to win or, yeah, Miami's going to win. It could go either way.
Well, when you get to game 7, that's the beauty of it, right? And especially with as dramatic of a swings as this has been, right? 3-0 to 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that game 6 goes down, it's just it's crazy to me that people could, and I get it, the NBA is always going to be looked at as the officiating is in on it and this and that because of the Tim Donaghy scandal and all that type of stuff.
Yep.
But anybody who could say that the NBA has rigged this to have that last play, which I'll be honest with you, when you saw the last play, did you think that he got that shot off on time? I did not. I know Stan Van Gundy didn't on the broadcast.
No.
And rightfully so. It was 0.1 second left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy that people would think that that's the way that the NBA is deciding these things.
Because really, when you think about it, Gordon, even though the horn and the clock are supposed to be in sync, you hear the horn, you don't watch the clock.
Right.
Right. You know, and especially when you're not at the arena, of course. But on TV, depending on what angle you get, you may not see the clock. So you hear the horn. And it seemed like it was almost simultaneous that the ball went in as the horn sounded, you know? So it's like, well, no, did he get it off in time? What's this? And so when they broke it down, that's when you saw, wow, that's what they did. And so there's been a number of situations about this clock. And the NBA, you know, they have the last 2-minute report on every game that they file. Every game in the NBA has a last 2-minute report. And this one of the of game 6 revealed that the officials had 2 missed calls. Both went
Miami's way.
Against Boston. Yeah, they went Miami's way. They had no issues on the foul on Jimmy Butler with 3 seconds remaining, but it was a lane violation that was against Miami. Caleb Martin on the free throw from Jaylen Brown that he missed that should have given them another shot. And there was another play where Jason Tatum was fouled by Gabe Vincent on a drive to the basket, and there was no call. So, you know, so, okay, we got it. But when you look at that, when you look at how that game ended, I just don't, from an emotional standpoint, Gordon, how do you, if you're Miami, how do you recover from that?
Yeah, see that one, I think that players are different than fans, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think that they are able to recover because they're used to doing this. They're used to having losses and having to come right back. And I get it. It's a bigger spot. It's a more painful way to lose. But they seem to be able to compartmentalize this in a way that us as fans can't. We keep focusing on that shot, and I'm sure you'll see that shot 1,000 times during the game today. So maybe that's why we focus on it. But they have a better way of to take everything out of it and just focus on the task at hand, and they better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they got a lot, you know, for the Heat, they got a lot of reputations riding on tonight. Number one, Jimmy Butler. I mean, think about all the praise. Jimmy Butler, superstar. He does this, he does that. You know, he had 24 points in game six. You know, he was 5 of 21 from the floor. It was not. Now, he hit the big free throws down the stretch at the end, and those were big. But, you know, this is a game where legacies are going to be made tonight. So it's time for guys to step up, especially on the Heat. And if you're talking about the Heat, it has to be Butler. It has to be Adebayo.
Absolutely. And we spoke about Mazzulla earlier, Gordon. What about Spoelstra? Okay, Boston, his team would have lost 4 straight. That's not Miami culture. That's not Heat culture.
No.
That kind of tears away at him a little bit. Now, look, his legacy is set. He's going to go down as one of the great coaches. There's no question about it. He's got 150-some playoff wins. He's number 5 all-time on that list. I mean, he's a great coach, and he's been an X's and O's guy, and you respect him. But, Gordon, let's face it. Boston's made some adjustments that he has not been able to counter well. And if they have a 3-0 lead and lose 4 straight, he takes a hit. That whole franchise and that Heat
you have
way
to.
Of life takes a
Absolutely.
Hit.
Absolutely. You're the first franchise in the history of the sport to blow a 3-0 lead. Yeah, that's going to go on your resume, and it's not something you want to lead your resume with.
No, it isn't. It is not. So this is an interesting game tonight for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of – listen, for a reporter, there's a lot of storylines on this one, Gordon. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of them. 1-800-919-3776. When we return, what's this? An official that has a burner account? What is he, a good friend of Kevin Durant? We'll discuss it next on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Ideally, you would think, you hope you do the right things, that thing just bounced a different way. That's the only place it could have bounced to hurt us. I thought we had a lot of things covered on that play, and that sometimes things just don't break your way. But I don't think there's any regrets on that. It's just a shame, but look, this is the way this season's been. This is a one hell of a series. At this time right now, I don't know how we're going to get this done, but we're going to go up there and get it done. And that's what the next 48 hours is about. There's been nothing easy about this season for our group, and so we just have to do it the hard way.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, you got to do it the hard way. That's winning on the road in the Game 7 against the team you lost to in the Game 7 last year. It's Barton Hahn, Hardesty and Damer, in for the guys, 1-800-919-3776. Gordon, from a coaching standpoint, based on what you've seen over the past, let's say, two games, who do you give the edge to tonight?
Well, I mean, at the NBA, it's about talent, right? It's not really a coaching league as much as a talent league. So you have to give credit to Mazzulla for getting his team off the mat, especially after the performance they put up in Game 3. But it kind of feels like things have finally, the talent discrepancy between the Celtics and Heat is finally starting to kick in. And the longer a series goes, you would figure that would take place. So I don't want to say that Mazzulla hasn't done anything, as you mentioned, about putting White in the starting line. You know, he's made some changes. He's done what he can. But at the end of the day, I think that this is about the Celtics having better players overall and that advantage showing up.
Yeah. I agree. It is interesting. It is about, and it's always about the players on the floor, no question. But I tell you, I wonder, and we get to the calls in a second, if Spoelstra would second guess and put somebody on the ball on the inbounds, Gordon, in that Game 6 where he sold out on doubling Tatum to make sure, listen.
Right.
Nobody else is beating me. Everybody else can beat me but that guy. So let's put two on him. But could he have... If he looks back, would he have done the same thing, or would he have put a taller person on the inbounds to make it tougher? Because when you think about it, Marcus Smart almost beat him anyway.
Right.
Almost beat him anyway. So it's
interesting. True, yeah.
It's interesting when you think about it.
It's a crazy play that had to go just perfect. Everything had to be perfect for the Celtics to be able to pull that one off.
Yep. And they were able to do so. That's why we have a Game 7 tonight. Manny's in Flushing. Manny, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Manny.
Yes. I'm going to watch the game. James, by the way, shout out. By the way, happy Mother's Day to you, y'all, and enjoy the barbecue. I will say just about the Celtics. If they win tonight, I think you become the first team not only that overcame an 0-3 deficit, but also came back from 3-1, 0-2s, and 3-2s to win the series, because they were the first team that ever done in series like that, respectively. I mean, Larry, you remember in the Bill Russell years, I think that was in the 68 against the 76ers, where they beat them despite being down 3-1. Larry, I assume that 81, you were a kid when the Celtics overcame to win the series to beat the Sixers despite down 3-1. They can't do that tonight against Miami. And we also got to put we also got to look at Eric Spoelstra, because I think a couple of years ago he was saying one of the 15 of the greatest coaches in the history. He'll be the first one to lose a series despite being up 3-0. Whoever thought that?
You're right, Manny, and thanks for the phone call. But here's the crazy thing about that, and Gordon, you just kind of mentioned it right when you talked about the talent. This Miami Heat team, and I'm not taking anything away from them, because what they've done has been crazy, all right? But Gordon, this Miami Heat team was an eighth seed for a reason. All right, this year they didn't play as consistently. They didn't play Miami Heat basketball for the whole season, all right? They had some injuries, no question about it.
You could make the argument they didn't play Miami Heat basketball the entire season.
Yeah.
Not just part of the season, the whole season, yeah.
Yeah, so they were an eighth seed for a reason. And clearly, this is why people have been so shocked at what happened with Boston. Because you've said it, Gordon, Boston's a better team. They have more talent. There's no question there's more talent that they have. But what has happened is in this playoff run, with Jimmy Butler putting them on his team, on his back, they've played like a better team, a better cohesive team.
Mm-hmm.
And so the questions of can Tatum and Brown play together continue to haunt the Boston Celtics? Because that's really what you're looking at. Go back to game six. Brown played very well. Tatum disappeared in the second half, Gordon. The biggest thing he did to help them was, we talk about Butler's free throws. Tatum was 15-15 from the free throw line, so he didn't miss. So those were big points when he went to the line. But he disappeared in the second half. So once again, if you're a Boston fan, you're searching for that game, and you're hoping it's tonight if you're a Celtic fan, where Brown and Tatum not only play well together at the same time in the same game, Gordon, but play well off each other. And that's something that they haven't been able to do. So when we look at this series and we're saying, man, how did Miami get to the 3-0 lead, especially with that performance in game three at home for Boston, on the road for Boston, then you're just saying, man, what is going on here? But now, as you said, the talent is making this interesting.
Yeah, no question. And again, now I laughed at it at the time, and I think the way things have played out has proven it to be ridiculous. But, you know, the ESPN analytics coming into this series had the Celtics as 97% chance of winning the series. Uh-huh. Now, the way things have played out, clearly that's wrong. And I think that's wrong. Anytime you have a player, there's never a time where two professional teams, unless one team is just completely injured and they barely have a team on the floor, nobody has only a 3% chance of winning a series. So that has been proven wrong. But, I mean, there's a reason why the numbers came up that overwhelming. The Celtics are the more talented team and were expected to cruise in the series. So now that they have been able to stabilize things, especially after that Game 3 performance, which was embarrassing, it seemed like they quit. Mm. It's funny when you get into these series where it's 3-0 and you think, oh, well, it's over, right? And then you get that one win. And it's amazing how you can start to envision how things can go. And a lot of people thought that. I didn't. I thought, it's just one win. No big deal. Mm-hmm. And then they win game five the way they did as well. And then you can start to see the gears starting to fall into place of, uh-oh, here come the Celtics. And if the Heat don't pull it off tonight, man, that's going to be a long offseason for them.
Who would have thought that when Boston said, don't let us win one.
Right? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Only Greeny was the one who said, yeah, well, how could you not think that Boston could win four straight when they have the better talent? Nobody but him was going on the line to say, you know, they could come back and win four straight. Nobody but him. Nobody but him. It's crazy.
Well, you know, I thought that on the K show, Don, he wasn't as full bore as Greeny, but mm-hmm. Greeny, I feel like, kind of swayed Don's opinion into it, thinking, hey, you know what? And I got to be honest, I was a naysayer. But with the way the Celtics have responded and the fact that now they have, how can you not win the series? You just pulled off one of the greatest last second plays, you'd have to say, in NBA history, to score the game winning basket with 0.1 second to go. You're at home. You're the better team. You're on the verge of being the first team. I don't remember the other three teams that have been able to force a game seven, but I don't think that they were superior to the other team the way the Celtics have been superior to the Heat. Mm-hmm. So all the pressure is on Boston tonight.
No question about it. Adamson Comac. Adam, you're next on Barton Hahn.
Hey, how's it going? I want to put my full support behind the Heat tonight for a couple of reasons. One, Jimmy Butler in the playoffs, we know, is Michael Jordan-esque. He's been that way. He takes the team on his back. And I see no reason why he will not do it in Game 7 tonight again. Now, look at the infrastructure. They got this coach there that they say is one of the best coaches in basketball. On the other side of Boston, you got a rookie coach. So I think it's going to come down to coaching to a large extent. And I think someone's going to make a mistake. And more likely, it would be the rookie versus the experienced one. And over and beyond that, you've got the great Pat Riley, who's been around the sport forever in all kinds of jobs, as a player, as a coach, as a GM. I don't think he's going to let this team go down as the first one to choke away, you know, this great moment. What do you think?
I hear what you're saying, Adam. Thanks for the phone call, but let's go back with Pat Riley. What's he going to do? He's not suiting up. He's not coaching. He's not going to walk in the locker room and you know, challenge Spoelstra's locker room or anything like that. He's not going to do that. I mean, that Heat culture is up for grabs tonight. It's going to take a hit if they don't find a way. And I hear what you're saying about the coaching matchup, but you could argue that in some ways, Spoelstra's been outcoached the last couple of games, Gordon. We talked, once again, we mentioned the moves that especially the one where they switched the taller person on Jimmy Butler, it's made a difference. It has. You can see his numbers have dropped. And he's almost, Gordon, gotten kind of apprehensive. He's not as aggressive once again before the final stretch of the fourth quarter in game six, where they kind of opened some things up for him. And he realized, you know what, I got to, they're struggling. I can put the team on my back. You know what, we can, maybe we can steal this when they come back and not have to do a game seven. So you're right. I understand why you would have Miami because of all the things that you said, but the game is played on the court and it's very simple, Gordon. It's a make or miss league. And in the games like this, the team that makes more or has the headier play, and there's going to be somebody. It always happens. I don't care what the sport. I don't care when it's a game seven. It always happens. There's somebody that we're not even thinking of that's going to have a big spot on both these teams tonight that's going to be influential in which way this game goes.
And can we slow down with the Jimmy Butler, Michael Jordan stuff? I get it. He has like you look at him as having like this killer instinct, this psycho winner kind of mentality.
Well, Jimmy.
Right. And look, he's great. He is fantastic. But let's not use the Lord's name in vain. You know what I mean? Like, let's not get too carried away with comparing him to Michael Jordan after a game in which he shot, what, 24% from the floor?
Yeah.
And then the team lost by one? Let's slow down with that a little bit. Especially after what do you have, 15 points in game five or 14 points in game five? You know, let's slow down a little bit.
Did you see him in game five?
Yeah.
He wasn't around much. You didn't see much of him.
No, you did not. No. Nope.
Gordon, the NBA has opened an investigation into longtime referee Eric Lewis involving a Twitter account that responded to numerous posts on league officiating and defended Lewis and other NBA referees. This is according to league sources telling ESPN. The account in question, which has been deleted, was listed under the username Blair Cutliffe with the handle at Cutliffe Blair. Potential issue, a league rule against officials commenting on officiating publicly without authorization. If it can be proven Lewis was making such statements, it's possible he could face discipline. He's in his 19th season as a referee, has officiated more than 1,100 games, 82 playoff games. In recent years, he's been one of the NBA's highest-rated officials as he's been assigned to six finals since 2019. He last worked game one of the Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and Lakers on May 16th. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You know you're not supposed to do it, Gordon. You don't do it. But I do understand why officials might feel the need to have a place where they can respond to the criticism that is heaped upon them for some things that happen in a game. I can understand it.
Yeah, but that one, you really can't. I mean, you can't. And it doesn't surprise me at all.
Not at all.
Wait until they find his FanDuel account. Then he's really going to be in hot water there.
Yeah, he'd be playing checkers with Donnie.
It's crazy that someone at that position would still feel the need to get into the cesspool that is Twitter. Mm-hmm. Now, I get it. If you're on Twitter and you see the criticism, it doesn't matter who you are. Criticism, at some point, it's hard to just ignore it completely. But why somebody in that position would even get into the, like, does he really need to be on Twitter? Like, is he trying to grow his brand on Twitter? It seems very odd that he would step into that that cesspool. And because if you're a referee, you have to figure if the normal person experiences, I don't know, 75% negative comments, for a referee, it's going to be 99.9.
No, 110.
Yeah, it's going to be overwhelming. So it's very odd that, and the fact that it was deleted, I think, immediately.
Says a lot.
That it's kind of telling.
Says a lot.
Kind of telling.
It does. Listen, in theory, I understand why you're so sensitive. You want to be able to give your side and so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. But you have to know, as an official, you can't do it.
No.
You can't do that. You're compromising your colleagues 1,000%. Now, if you're a former official and you want to get into it and you want to have a discussion and stuff like that,
absolutely,
have at it. But even then, I could be honest with you, I'm uncomfortable for the officials that comment during games on broadcast now, because sometimes you'll hear them say, especially in the NFL, well, I don't know if they would, and they overturn it and they're quiet because they're like, in the back of their mind, they really shouldn't have overturned that.
Well, the good thing is that this should be very easy to find out if it were him or if it was him or not. It should not, that investigation, it should not be very long.
No,
it seemed to be pretty quick to be able to figure that out.
Absolutely. When we return, we'll have more thoughts on the NBA Game 7 tonight. And then at the top of the hour, we'll turn our attention to some baseball. It's Memorial Day, so it's kind of time for us to take a look at both local baseball teams, Gordon with the Yankees, myself with the Mets, and see just where our local baseball teams are. We'll do that next. It's Hardesty and Damian for Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN. All right. Now, let me tell you about what's going on with my friends over at Bigelow Tea. Now, Gordon, I'm going to tell you something. You know, back in the day when I was covering the Yankees and the Mets, I was a guy that had my, you know, my scorecard out. I was a guy that had my lineup card. I had my team stats. And sometimes I still do that just to have some fun. But now what I've added is a mug of Bigelow Tea. And for me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition. Stop laughing, Gordon. Even when the game goes into extra innings, no matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow Tea and take a moment just for you. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Bart and Hahn Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon, I'm just telling you, it's we'll talk baseball in a second, but I just can't get it together, man. When I get pitching, I get no offense. When I get offense, I get no pitching. I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling.
Yeah, 27 up, 27 down. It could be worse, but that's the way that it's not a fluke. That's the way they've played.
It is. Once again, we'll turn our attention to baseball at the top of the hour. Right now, let's hear from Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Fellas, hi, Gordon. Hi, Larry. Richard. I don't bet. I don't gamble. I can care less about winning money in sports. I use sports for entertainment and to keep my brain alive. But tonight's game, you're telling me Miami has beaten Boston 2 out of 3 times in Boston. Now you're saying to me, not only don't we think you can win, we're going to give you 8 points and still say you're not going to beat us. I don't see how you don't lay money on Miami tonight. I don't believe there's such thing as home court advantage. I mean, if you look at it, home ice advantage, baseball, all those sports, it doesn't seem like it matters anymore. I mean, this is new. I'll have to say that. The other thing is momentum from one game to the next game. I don't see it. Mm-mm. And Larry, Gordon, as far as my eyes, what I saw on Saturday night, I didn't see a loser in that game. There's no loser. Time ran out. That's all. Just like the Super Bowl. I didn't think the Eagles lost that game. Yeah, they were on the wrong side of the score. Same thing with Miami Saturday night. But there were no losers. That ball fell in the guy's hand at the right moment. It was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. Competitive till the end. It wasn't a great. The game wasn't played that great. But the way the game played, the turns and twists, it was fascinating. So, I mean, to me, from a logical point of view, sensible, I have to bet Miami 8 points and not even think about it. I mean, to me, it's the right move to make. How can you go against a team like this? They've been resilient all the time. They've beaten Boston 2 out of 3 times there. You know, I mean, it's not impossible. See, I think they go on emotion. They think that all the bettors want to bet Boston because they think that Miami. But I don't see it that way. These players, they're not looking at that. They're not figuring that they lost. Just time ran out on them.
So I hear what
that's
you're
how
saying,
I see it, fellas. I like to hear what you guys say.
Play. All right. Thanks for the call. Gordon, Vegas knows something. I just always feel that way. When it's a close game, a situation like that, and they have points, Vegas knows something. Maybe they figure that Brogdon's going to come back tonight. I know he was working out. Maybe he gets a chance to come into the game to help the Celtic bench tonight, or maybe he's available. I don't know. But 8 points does seem like a lot for a game, especially coming off a game where it took a basket with one-tenth of a second left for Boston to continue to even have a game 7. They've got some information, Gordon.
anytime you see a line and you think, oh, that's a layup. I'm going to hammer. There's a reason why it's there. And I'm not saying that you're wrong all the time, but the amount of times that you're wrong as opposed to Vegas being wrong, they know it. There's a reason why none of those casinos are going out of business.
They got info.
Well, and if they are, it's certainly not from bettors taking them down. I'll say that much.
You're right about that. On Twitter, Gordon, at JBlazeNYC says, Uncle L and G, if the Celtics lose tonight or if they win and lose in five to Denver, is it out of the question that Brad Stevens goes in a different direction than Mazzulla, considering all those dudes that are available? Yeah, we kind of touched on that earlier, Gordon. I just think that he's bought time. Yeah. If they win tonight, he's bought time. No matter what, and obviously, listen, if you're Jokic, the way that you have played this year against Miami, you're kind of rooting for Miami in this series because I think the Celtics give you more of a challenge. But nevertheless, I just think that for him to bring them back, if they get to the finals, I think it at least gives him until next season to see how they move. I mean, they were dead, Gordon, and he brought them back.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to tell you how great the story is until I know how the story ends.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if they go out tonight and they win again and they win the series and they go to the finals, I would have to think it's very rare that you end up going to the finals and getting fired then. Now, if you go to the finals and you don't start out well, I mean, the yeah. NBA for coaches, it's here today, gone today a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised if things did not go well next season if he were back on the hot seat. Right. But if they win this series, you'd have to think that he is going to be the fact that they have gotten to this point after being down 3-0 in the series, that he is not going anywhere. But we have to see how this story plays out tonight. You know, if the Heat go in there and pull out a win, that opens that door back up. It all depends on how the story ends.
Yeah. And I understand the theory of it. And, you know, just for discussion, which is what we do in sports radio, if they lose in game five, but see, it's how they lose, right? Mm-hmm. Which is your point about not feeling it, but just to play along with the scenario, it's how they lose. If they lose four of those games by 3 points or less, no, they'll bring it back. If it's a scenario where they get blown out like they did in game three in two of those games, then maybe he doesn't come back. But at this point, considering that after the three games, Gordon, we not only thought that he was gone, we thought almost a quarter of that roster was going to be gone because of how badly they looked on the road after losing the first two at home, where you figure, okay, we're going to go into Miami and make a statement, and how they started, you know, in that series was not great. I mean, they were blown away. They quit, Gordon. They yeah. quit on the court. Everybody was talking about how badly they looked. But since then, they have bounced back, and they have won three straight, one lucky bounce that they got. And now they're here in the game seven where a lot of us didn't think they would be. So, listen, if you're going to kill him and give him grief for them being down 0-3, then you got to give him credit for them tying being 3-3.
Yep, absolutely. It's an unfair thing because, you know, like you take a look at game three. Was his coaching so bad? That's the reason why they looked that bad in game three, or was it on the players? But
right.
Unfortunately, in the NBA, this is the business you've chosen. Much like they said in The Godfather, you mm-hmm. you know the deal when you walk in the door. So, if the Celtics go out and put up a bad performance tonight, I would think that he would probably still not be back, even getting to the game seven.
Yeah, no question about it. So, it's going to be fun, Gordon. I'm looking forward to it. The game seven, Celtics and Heat. Who wins? How? Well, it's going to be a good one. When we return, Hardenstein Damon for Barton Hahn. We'll turn our attention to some baseball on this Memorial Day. This is kind of one of the benchmarks, Gordon, where you look at your team and you kind of figure out, okay, where we are, what have we seen, what do we need to improve on? And both local teams, we've got some things to talk about. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.
I use sports for entertainment and to keep my brain alive.